Hello! Welcome to the afternoon of Tech Days DevOps. Do you know, I step out for 10 minutes and I find some other bloke trying to do his best to impersonate me. He got the waistcoat, he got the bow tie and everything. I tell him, I'm not having that. So, this afternoon, we're going to start with Xamarin, cross-platform dev. I have the marvellous Gary Whittaker with me. We are going to talk a little bit later on to Boris DeVouge about open source, and then we're going to close with Brian Harry. Big ask time. So we're pushing the audience figures. Andrew and I, as you know, have got a competition going to see who can get the biggest audience. We've now got another wrinkle. Gary really wants to get the biggest number of viewers online so this can be the biggest audience he's ever spoken to. So tag your mates, tweet it out. We want to get the viewing figures up to give Gary a great present for a great session. Okay?
I hope that's true. That sounds really good.
So you're going to talk to us about Xamarin and cross-platform dev.
I am. So I'm Gary Whittaker. I'm a MVP. I'm the Director of App Development for Appsid Limited, and we're Xamarin partners. So I've been working with Xamarin for about 2 years now.
Okay.
And there's a big story around Xamarin at the moment, and you may have heard sort of some rumours about some changes which may have happened in the last few months. I was over at Xamarin Evolve 2 weeks ago, and it was really buzzing. There were sort of like 1,500 attendees, which gives you an idea of what the popularity of Xamarin now. So I guess we ought to step back a bit at this point and say, what is Xamarin?
Mm-hmm.
So Xamarin's a cross-platform development tool. And unlike other cross-platform development tools, it lets you write native applications. Now, there's a lot of other tools out there. You can think of quite a few, I'm sure, off the top of your head, but most of them are basically using a web page encapsulated in a native page, and they're rendering perhaps JavaScript. Cordova is an example of that.
Okay.
And they have issues that potentially, although they can be quite good, and for certain types of applications, they're perfect, but they might have performance issues, they may have rendering issues, certainly animations and things like that may not work as well. So the beauty of Xamarin is it actually compiles to native apps. At the end, you get an app you can submit to the App Store. It is a native app. So the iOS version compiles in Xcode. The Android one is using the same virtual machine as the Java stuff is. So basically, you're going to get a native application.
Okay. But the beauty of it is that I'm writing .NET that I know and love
exactly.
As an existing Windows developer.
So, and that gives you so much more as well. I mean, and you can write in C#, you can write in F# if you want.
Really?
You can write I've seen some really cool examples of F# used for Xamarin.
Okay.
So very impressive. But the beauty of this is, of course, you're using your familiar tools, familiar mm-hmm. packages. You can use all those nice plugins you've used all those Nuget's or Nuget's or whatever, Nuggets, whatever, how we want to pronounce that today.
So I'm living inside Visual Studio then for this. I don't have to use an external.
So you can use Visual Studio. There is also Xamarin's own Xamarin Studio, which is quite a good tool if you're working on a Mac.
Okay.
But certainly on Windows, you can use Visual Studio. You can use all those toolings you're used to. You've got everything you've ever used in the past you can use with Xamarin. The other beauty, of course, is that there's a lot of .NET programmers out there. To corporates I talk to, I go in and quite often and start off development projects with mobile. And when I talk to them, they say, well, do we have to acquire a team for this? Are we going to have to get in Android developers, iOS developers? And the simple answer is no. You can take a web developer and turn them into a Xamarin developer, as long as they've got .NET skills. So most people have got an ASP.NET team, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a really good story on this. I took a guy who was out in Buenos Aires about a year ago. And he started absolutely no mobile experience. He was a web developer. He'd been given a project. He was panicking about it. He called me up and said, can I help him? And 2 weeks later, he had an app in the App Store. And this wasn't a simple app. This had a back end. It had everything on it. So, and it's actually a very popular app in Argentina. So it shows the power of this tool set. It makes it really easy to develop stuff for Android and iOS.
Okay, but it's not just for line of business apps, though, is it? It can be literally any kind of apps.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
As my friend, hit the wrong button, my friend Mike James from Xamarin says, anything on objects of C, Swift, and Java, developer can do with their own tools, we can do with C# in Visual Studio.
Okay.
So it's you can do it with the tools you know and love. It's a very, very powerful tool set. Two approaches. You can write Xamarin Android and Xamarin iOS native apps. So this is the approach where you actually write the user interface using the tools you use for Android or iOS development. Quite good idea. You have a shared code base between them. So you might get 70, 75% shared code.
So that's my business logic, then
your business
is in .NET.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So you've then got the native tools to write your UI to come up with that really polished user experience.
Okay.
Another approach is to use a thing called Xamarin Forms. This is a XAML-based, well, it can be XAML-based language, which allows you to develop a user interface shared between all the platforms. It's really clever, though, in that it doesn't generate the same user interface on each platform. It actually turns it into a native user interface. So, so for example, you might get a tab view on an iOS, but you get a pivot view on Windows.
Okay, so it turns up with the native controls in the end. It's not I don't know, the worst case fits all. I still get the great UI.
You still get native. So this has always been one of the big things. If you're writing a cross-platform app, do you write it so it looks the same on all platforms, or do you write it so it actually fits with the way people expect it to work on those platforms? So, and I would always say, make it fit with how people expect it to work. But you can now do that in Xamarin Forms, and it's becoming a lot easier to do that in Xamarin Forms as well.
Okay.
One of the problems historically with Forms was it wasn't very performant. They've done an awful lot of work on it. The new version, the new previous view version, which I'm working with today, is a lot faster. So it's becoming certainly possible to write certainly line of business applications very easily with Xamarin Forms, and it's becoming even as easy to write consumer apps now as well.
Okay, and just as you're bringing your C# skills as a developer, I can bring my XAML skills as a designer.
Exactly.
And leverage everything.
Yeah. So we can leverage all those toolings we've had before. Now I have to say the XAML is slightly different, as it was, and some of the layouts and things are different between XAML for Xamarin and XAML for WPF, XAML for Windows Store. So you still got some learning to do that, but it's not too difficult, and you can pick that stuff up. And I guess we're going to see more of convergence along those things. So one of the reasons you might want to use Xamarin now, of course, is one of the questions was always, sounds a great experience. Why aren't people using it? And it used to come a lot of the time down to cost.
Okay.
It was quite an expensive tooling. It was about $1,000 per platform, per developer. So if you're doing iOS and Android, you have to buy two seats. And a lot of people thought that was quite expensive. Now, you may have heard recently that Microsoft acquired Xamarin.
I had heard that, yeah. All of the devs I work with are getting really excited about it.
And quite rightly so. So at Build, Scott Goo got on stage and he said, we've got a really important announcement for you. Xamarin is now free. If you use Visual Studio, and this even applies to the free community edition of Visual Studio, you can have Xamarin for free.
Okay, so really absolutely free, not just, hey, you've got an MSDN subscription, therefore you can use it.
So you can use it with the community. So if you're an open source dev or you want to just get into Xamarin, you can do this. And this has led to certain things I'm working on now. For example, we saw the market bit not so long ago. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Paul Foster on the project he was working on, he spoke about yesterday, lunchtime.
The nanosatellite.
Yep. And we're doing an open source community product to do the mission control app, which will be written in Xamarin.
Oh, great.
And when we first said this, people said, why are you doing that? It's really expensive. How can I help you? Well, obviously there were rumours at the time.
Can't tell you. Hang on a minute.
But it's now a very good story.
Great.
So this also means it's now available as part of Visual Studio Dev Essentials. So if you want to go and download Dev Essentials, you can now get Xamarin as part of that.
All right. So it comes in the download, does it now?
Yeah. So
fantastic.
So it's very easy to set up now. It's also now open. So the other big announcement involved was that the two founders of Xamarin, Nat Friedman and Miguel de Casa, who's a really great guy, announced that the Xamarin SDKs are now fully open source.
Okay.
And you can go to open.xamarin.com right this moment and download them if you want to. And you can submit pull requests. And the other thing that I got really excited about was the fact that they open source Xamarin Forms as well. So the Xamarin Forms, there were loads of talk in the community, the Xamarin community over the years about if you open source Xamarin Forms, we'll come and put fixes in and we'll sort things out for you, because there's a few things which were issues in Xamarin Forms, and they have most been resolved, but there's still some out there. And Jason Smith, who's the guy who invented Xamarin Forms, there's a really good story there which for another time, but it's worth reading out how Xamarin Forms came to be, because it's quite a funny story. He said at Evolve, look, you've said this, we're open sourcing it. I want to see pull requests. Well, we've had the first external pull request accepted within the last week.
That's great. And that's taken, what, a week, two
weeks? A week. So it's been brilliant to see this stuff happening. So you can get that on GitHub now, GitHub Xamarin Forms. It's there available for you to go and download and play to your heart's content. And it's also great because it allows you to see how it works under the skin, which gives you an idea on the performance and some of the reasons why you might want to do certain things in certain ways. So one thing I wanted to talk about was the way the app business is actually evolving. It's something we've seen as a company. I would say when we first started out, we were probably writing primarily apps for the consumer, primarily apps to go in the app stores. That's really changed. Our last, I would say, 6-7 apps we've written have all been line of business.
Okay.
Quite complex line of business, but not stuff to go on the app store, stuff to be sideloaded into people's devices. And from this slide you see here, Xamarin did a couple of interesting surveys. They did one in 2014 and one in 2016 about what people were developing for and how many projects they had on the go at once. And they were talking to corporates in America. And in 2014, most of the corporates were doing one or two apps, if that. And they were consumer-focused. They were designed to go in the app store and get it to customers. Now, they're seeing the same corporates developing hundreds of apps simultaneously.
Really?
And they're mainly line of business. They're mainly going up to partners and employees, some going to customer-facing, but a lot less consumer-facing stuff. And this is just basically visualising data. It's getting data out to the employees in a form. So someone looked at this and said, well, a lot of the stuff we're doing is just visualising data. So they're going to make some changes to help along those lines.
Okay.
But before we get to that, I just wanted to point out that it's a DevOps day today. And Xamarin really are focused on mobile DevOps now. I think there was a feeling they weren't a few years ago. But Nat Friedman got up on stage, and the first thing he had was a big slide, as you can see, saying mobile DevOps lifecycle. And Xamarin does fit into the DevOps world. Obviously you can develop for Android, for iOS. There's a couple of other things which we'll show in a second. You can equally include Windows Phone and UWP into your Xamarin project, because obviously you're not actually writing them using Xamarin tools, but you can share the same shared code.
Okay.
So that's a good way of doing it. We can build and distribute. We can integrate into Visual Studio team services. Some of the stuff that was shown earlier today, build steps to actually put Xamarin.
So I can integrate Xamarin into my VSTS automated build. So
exactly.
When you check in your Xamarin code, I can build iOS and Android and Windows,
yeah,
all as part of the same,
yeah, so
thing.
There's an iOS build step, there's an Android build step, and you can do those things.
Okay.
You can also build in the testing as well. So we've got, on the testing side, we've got Test Cloud, which is Xamarin's mobile testing service. We'll say a bit more about that later, but that can be built in as a build step as well.
Okay.
And we can obviously also integrate into Hockey App for distribution. Now, this is actually one of the good stories about Hockey App, because I know there's some questions around that. But Hockey App is really good for deploying to mobile devices. So it allows you to do that in-house deployment.
Yeah, and Matteo was showing that at the last session before lunch, where he did a build, pushed it out through Hockey App. So I can use that across all of my platforms again. So you can do a build, you can push it out to your Android users, push it out to your iOS users.
Exactly, yeah. So,
okay.
And we can automate that as well. So that, and then finally, we've got the monitoring through Hockey App again. Now, Xamarin did have a wonderful talk with Xamarin Insights, and it is really good. I'm pleased to say the Xamarin Insights team are joining the Hockey App team to give some of their
feedback. Okay.
So I think we're going to see a lot of crossover there with things. There are a lot of people out there who say that Xamarin Insights is going away, but I see good things coming. Okay, so I want to put the development back into DevOps, because I think it's really important that we don't forget that DevOps is about development. If we're making life more difficult for developers, we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, as an IT pro, I'm sitting on the other side going, you know, developers make my life hard. But no, I agree with you. I mean, if you take the dev out of DevOps, what have we got?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
There's nothing there. So.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So I mean, that is the point of DevOps. It's supposed to make developers more productive.
Yeah.
And if we're not doing that, we're doing it wrong. So I think there's a stage in DevOps which often gets forgotten. It's the bit at the start of a project. It's the bit where you're explaining to the team how this project is going to go, what tooling you're going to use, what things to avoid, what coding standards you're going to use,
okay,
those sort of things. And Xamarin have introduced a really nice tool called Xamarin Workbooks. And I'm going to give a quick demo of this, if I can get this to hop up. Let's see if I can find it. It's here somewhere. There he is.
Yeah.
And that's the agent. Get the actual Xamarin Workbooks up.
Too many windows.
I've got too many demos to do.
It's so multitasking. I'll never catch on.
Indeed. So this is a demo workbook in Xamarin Workbooks. And Xamarin Workbooks is like an interactive way of operating with .NET. So
okay,
this looks like just a documentation. It looks like... But if I hit return on this line, and it will take a little time to kick in because it's a bit sluggish, this machine, it actually runs that code.
So is that building on top of the coolness that we see from Roslyn then, doing the tool live compile?
So we've now got the information. So I can actually go through and see what happens if I try and do first on that, and I'll obviously get Fred in there. And this is live code. If I actually go in here and change this and rerun it, you have to hit return at the end of the line, which is a bit confusing, but we'll rerun it. We'll see it will actually come up Freddy, and it will change the first list, the next line to Freddy as well, so we can see that it's actually done that dynamically. So we can now ask questions, what would happen if the list was empty? Well, we empty, we know that's going to fail, we're going to get a null reference.
Right.
So let me just do that for you. And there's our null reference. So we now say, okay, so the right way to do this is to use first or default, and we can see we actually get a null back. So this is a really good teaching tool. I think it's phenomenal. And what you have to notice here, this is not working in the Xamarin environment at the moment. I'm actually doing this as a WPF project.
Okay.
But I can do it for Android and iOS. I can also do the visual tree side as well. So I can actually create visual renderings of buttons and show, and it will actually show them live within the workbook. So there's an awful lot of power here.
Okay, so the team can build its documentation and build a knowledge base that's a living thing, that it's not just a cold piece of documentation. That's really cool.
And all Xamarin's documentation is going over this. So you'll actually be able to use live code examples. So it's going to be really phenomenal, I think. It's an amazing way we're going to be going.
Oh, the fun I could have if MSDN was live.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So it currently works it's in preview. You can download it. You can go and get it now. It works for Android, iOS, and WPF. You do have to have Visual Studio and some of the plugins to make it work. Right. I just think it's great. I think it's going to be. There's so many possibilities for it.
Yeah. That looks really cool.
Okay, so there's a few other announcements about development to Evolve. Xamarin Studio, which you mentioned earlier, which you can use on Mac. You can use it on Windows as well. There's a Xamarin Studio for Windows. A lot of people thought it might go away. We got VS Code, people thought that might be the way it was going to go. But there seemed to have been a real commitment to Xamarin Studio. They completely retooled it. It's now using Roslyn. So you've got all that lovely syntax highlighting, all the stuff you get with Roslyn. They've improved the code completion. They've supported C# 6 properly. And they've actually introduced a new project model as well. There used to be some issues where if you wrote something in Xamarin Studio, you put it into Visual Studio, it didn't necessarily work quite so well. They've now merged the two, so you've got a proper good, strong project model there. Funny enough, the biggest applause of the week was at Xamarin Evolve was when they announced they also done a dark theme for it.
Devs are obsessed with light on dark. I've never managed to grasp that. But whatever.
The other thing which they announced, which I love, and I wish it was in Visual Studio, they've now got a XAML Forms previewer in Xamarin Studio. So if you keep Xamarin Forms XAML in, you can see, like you can preview XAML for WPF, but you can see it in Xamarin Studio live on whatever platform you're working on. So this is a good example of it. So here we've got a iOS project shown on the right-hand side of the screen, and some code on the left-hand side of it. I don't know if you can see down here on the screen, if I can get my cursor to go, we've got a border colour of aqua. If that changed to blue, immediately the blue shows up on the preview.
Okay.
Very powerful tool, and I wish it was available in Visual Studio. There have been some changes to Visual Studio, some really nice changes to Visual Studio. These are in private preview at the moment, so unfortunately I can't demo some of these.
Right.
But they've added iOS simulator remoting. So when you're writing Xamarin for iOS, you do need a Mac somewhere.
I remember seeing this at Build. That's where inside Visual Studio, I've got the window showing me the Mac app running inside.
Exactly.
That's
really useful.
Yeah.
So they've taken that one stage further, and now at Evolve, they announced iOS USB remoting. So you can now plug a USB, an iOS device, an iPhone, an iPad, into your Windows device, remote it back to your Mac to build against. So it builds on the Mac, and is sent back to the device connected to your Windows device.
Okay, I think. Okay, yeah, so Mac builds it, sends it to my PC. My PC sends it down the USB to the iOS device, and I'm looking at the window of the iOS device. Okay, and do I get sort of full debugging and stuff
on that
as well?
You do, exactly, which is lovely. And it works really, really well as well. And one thing we should potentially come back to if we have time, the Xamarin Test Recorder. So you can actually now record your UI tests in Visual Studio using drag and drop. And lovely enough, if you've got a touchscreen like a Surface, you can actually scroll your finger along on the screen and record it.
And we were talking, we talked about sort of rolling automated testing as part of our release and deploy. Yeah. Can I take those test that I've done with Xamarin Test Recorder, and as part of my automated build, you've already said I can now build my iOS app. I can run those tests as well, can I?
You certainly can.
Fantastic.
Yep. Xamarin Forms, as we mentioned, there's a huge raft of changes, and I'm going to go briefly go through these because I'm actually going to demo these in a second.
Okay.
We have a whole new set of things. We've got the XAML preview I mentioned before. We've got themes, which are quite a nice idea. One of the difficulties with line of business applications is people produce line of business applications quite quickly using Xamarin Forms, but they don't look very nice. And people, and that's fine for most people, but you do get a lot of feedback from, particularly stuff where you're giving out to partners and potentially customers. You want something which is going to look a bit better than you can potentially use for internal. Although I would argue you should make your internal apps look nice as well. So there's a whole new range of themes. They actually come with two, a dark theme and a light theme, fairly standard. Look, use a bit of material design on Android, use iOS 9 style design styles, pre-made for you. You can create your own themes as well. So it's quite an easy way of doing things.
So is that going to help me with that age-old problem of we write something and 2 days later marketing change our visual guidelines and our color scheme?
Yes, just change the thing. Just the change the thing. So we can do that. And you can see some examples on this slide. There's also a thing called data pages, which is what I'm going to demo in a second, which is a really quick way of doing that surfacing of data. You've got a JSON feed, you've got an Azure mobile feed, you've got an Azure Easy Tables feed. You can take those and render them very quickly with some preset theming to produce an app. And there's one final thing, which I'm going to do a demo in a second, but I just want to show this. This is something which a lot of Xamarin Forms developers have been crying out for, the ability to put native controls into Xamarin Forms. So there are some forms which are not some controls which are not supported in Xamarin Forms native. And they're only specific to a particular device. So, for example, on Android you've got this thing called a fab, a checkable fab, which is like a box with a button which can change shape and size as you click it. You haven't got that on iOS. So you would only want to use it on Android. So you used to have to go through a lot of hoops to do that. Now you can actually, as it's shown on this example, code directly Android code in. So you just check to see with a preprocessor that you...
So to be clear, this isn't... So when you started talking about UI, you said that I had two options. I could code native UI or I could use XAML Forms UI. What you're saying now is I can actually have my cake and eat it. So I can use XAML Forms but still include native elements if I need
to. And to be honest, you could always do that. But you had to go through a lot of hoops to do it with custom renderers, which are code written in the Android code. Whereas this you can just plug straight into your XAML Forms.
Okay.
And you can just basically use a control from the native code. As you can see, it's very straightforward to do so. Right. This is the part of the talk I'm slightly dreading, because we'll see how the demo gods are smiling today.
Yeah, so I'm nervous now, because we were sitting outside before this session and Gary said, right, I've got this live demo and you're going to write some code. Hang on a minute, I'm not a dev.
So let's I might let you off writing the code part. Let's see how we go.
So it's easy, isn't it? I take a couple of characters, I hit tab and Visual Studio does it for me.
Well, true, yeah. So I'm starting off here with a fairly standard Xamarin Forms application. I've got two projects for Android and iOS, and I've got a shared code project. Now, you can do shared code one of two ways. You can have shared code, or you can use a portable class library. I've chosen shared code here because it's slightly easier for the demo, but you could do either way.
Okay.
One slight difference on this demo to a standard template, and I'm hoping they're going to change the templates to reflect this, is at the moment, if you create a Xamarin Forms template, you just get an app.cs file. You don't get any XAML associated with it.
Right.
Now, for theming, you really need an application XAML file. So basically what I've done here is to create an application XAML file. One tip on this is don't call it app.xaml, because if you're going to include a Windows Phone project or a UWP Power project, they've got their own app.xaml, and you get naming clashes.
Right, okay.
Especially if you're doing shared code. If you're doing PCL, it's not so much a problem. So I've called it event.xaml. And it's very, very simple. You can just see it's got an application layer in it. And all I've had to do to get that to work is to make the class partial on the... So we can see that's partial from there. So otherwise, it's a standard Xamarin Forms template. So what I'm going to do first is I've added in some NuGets, or Nuggets, or Nuggets, or whatever you want to call them, which are the Xamarin Forms pages plugin and the three theme plugins. So there's the theme base and the two theme styles. Now, you don't necessarily need to put the theme styles in, because you would, if you were creating your own, you could just put your own one in, but you will need the base in there. So for the case, I've got the light and the dark theme. So I'm just going to plug those into my event XAML. So here's one I prepared earlier. So the first thing you need to do is add in the namespace. So I'm going to add the namespace in for the theming. So in this case, I've got XAML Forms themes, and I've gone for the dark theme. may trade the light theme later, we'll see. And I'm going to add in some application resources. So this is very similar to the XAML you know and love from WPF. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to do next is, hopefully, if I just grab it from my saved little thing, is add a resource dictionary into this code as well. So again, something you'd be familiar with from. So we're just merging with the theme resources. And that has done theming. The app's now themed.
Really? Okay. Well, that was easy.
So it's pretty straightforward to do that. So the next thing we're going to try and do is get some data. And I've got a nice data feed sitting over here. I could have used a set of Azure data pages, easy tables, I could use Azure mobile, but I've actually just got a nice JSON feed. I'm using Mockable, which is quite a good way if you want to knock up Mockable IO, it's a good way if you just want to knock up some JSON for a quick demo. Okay. So this is demo code, it's written, it's basically just this today's event and yesterday's event.
I was going to say that looks hauntingly familiar, that's yesterday's agenda.
Yep. So
there you go, folks, we're going to have an app soon, so you can see the app for the event just as we finish the event. Maybe we should have put you on first.
Yeah, maybe, but anyway. So I'm going to fire back to my code, and I'm going to add in a page to actually render this.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add in a new item, and it's going to be a form XAML page. I just can't remember why I actually said I was going to call this, because it's really important I call it the same thing. Sessions database page, that's what I want to call it. So I'm going to call it session data page. If I could type today, it would be useful. That's capital D. It's always useful when you change your computer just before you're going to do a demo and don't know what the keyboard is. So I'm just going to add that in. It takes a few seconds to add a page in, usually, if it's going to do it for me today. Oops. Ah, so we've already got one tacked away there.
Oh, that was cunning. Ah. I've done this demo before.
So let's have a look at this. So we probably don't want to see all this rubbish of this design stuff at the top, because it's not going to be particularly useful for us. So I've actually got here a nice data page. And it's what I've done is to use another namespace, XAML Forms Pages, and it's also inheriting the namespace, and the assembly is XAML Forms Pages as well. And I'm using from that cleverly named P namespace a new control, okay, a new type of page called the list data page. And I've also got on here some other bits and pieces. I'm actually going to take some of this out, because I don't think we need to have this bit in yet, so let's take that out.
I don't think I've ever sat in a coding demo where the dev's deleted code on me before. Okay, carry on.
Why not? We'll put that back in later. I just wanted to show this in its raw state.
Right.
So what I've got here is basically a list data page. I've got a data source, and in my data source, this is a JSON data source, and that's the mockable IO we were looking at not so long ago.
Okay.
And that's basically it.
So is that in the same vein as in XAML? I can do a data binding to a control.
Yes. Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. I'm not sure this is actually going to work without the session data page CS in there as well. So let's bung that in just in case it hasn't got it. There we go. And that needs to be also inheriting this list data page. Obviously, it's important that we put the using forms pages in there.
Okay.
Now let's see if this will actually run. So I haven't done much coding here. As you can see, it's not. So I'm using the Android player from Xamarin Android player. I could have used the Microsoft Android emulator as well, which is really good.
Okay.
So both of those are particularly useful. Building takes a little while, I was laughing with someone earlier saying that building this project probably takes longer than writing it.
So to be clear, Android I can build on this machine, even though you're running Windows, I can build an Android.
Yes.
App, but iOS with Xamarin, I've got to build on a Mac, is that right?
That's correct, yep. So you don't have to have a Mac to build on. You don't have to be building on the Mac. Well, you have to have a Mac build agent. So
right.
So this could be a server anywhere. You might have one of these for your company, and you just then connect to it and actually build to it. So I'll show that in a second, because I've actually got a Mac build, a Mac in the cloud effectively, which I'm using to do that. So this is firing up. Let's see if the Android emulator is running, which it is. and it'll probably crash at this point, because they usually do.
I have faith. I'm touching wood. My fingers are crossed.
And debugging, that's looking good. We're not seeing much on the screen at the moment, which is a little bit concerning. And maybe we'll have to restart that emulator to get this to actually run up. Let's try that, because that happens occasionally. I am running very preview code here, so it's quite feasible that things might not fire the first time.
I've done demos like that before. Oh, look, it's failed. Imagine this is what it might look like.
Well, let's hope we can actually see what it looks like this time. I know I can show it on iOS, so I'm confident there. This stuff is all in preview, so it's very much in preview as well. It's not. You can download it, you can play with it, but certain things will break on it.
Right.
For example, at the moment, I cannot plug a Windows Phone application into this and get that to work with this. I'm sure that's coming with the Xamarin Forms, because you can do Xamarin Forms for Windows Phone, you can do Xamarin Forms for UWP as well, so quite useful.
So to be clear, it's this particular version of Xamarin Forms that's still in preview. If I'm cautious and I want to run, if you like, production ready,
yes, yeah.
I can use the older version
of
Xamarin
exactly,
Forms.
Exactly. And, right. And this will, going on normal procedures with Xamarin Forms, it will not be long before this is up and running.
Okay.
Let's give this one more try. I might have to switch to the other project, which I know is on a slightly older version, which will actually hook up.
Here's one we prepared earlier.
Yes. Sometimes it just won't connect to the Android player. There we go. We're working this time.
Fantastic.
So this is going to run up in a second or two, and that's actually, I missed one step out.
Uh-oh.
So this is a good learning thing. So obviously I've done all that work, but I haven't actually hooked it in to the app.
So we've got a page, but you're not calling the page.
I'm not calling the page. So let's do that. That'd be a good idea, I think. So we better stop this so it doesn't get in the way. It's just got about enough time to do this. So let me pick up a very short bit of code out of here. So we need to set the main page, and we need to do that in our app. So we've got here our nice main page control, and I'm just going to override that. You know, didn't quite cut and paste the right part, but one important thing here, for this to work, it has to be a navigation page. So navigation page is just one of the controls that you get in XAML Forms, and it allows you to control navigation on all the platforms, and it does it in a platform specific way.
So when you say for that to work, you mean the first page of my app has to be a navigation page?
Yeah, so for this data pages
right.
tool to
okay.
work, it expects to have a navigation environment to work in.
Okay.
So let's see if this will actually now run. Hopefully it's now connected to the player, so we won't have any problems again. We'll just run it through again. So, yes, yeah, so the point of the navigation is this, we're not just viewing that initial list of data, we can drill down on it as well. So to do that, we have to have navigation available. And we've actually got a bit of stop point in there. I didn't realise I put one in. Let's continue that.
Well, that's a good demo of interactive debugging with the yeah. emulator.
So here's our app.
Okay.
So we have got an app now for our event, and if I can scroll it up, we'll see we've got some nice pictures of all our lovely people, but they're not quite right.
Right.
Because they're a bit chopped off at the top, and I'm not sure I like this dark theme. Well, there's someone we might find familiar.
That's a scary picture.
So let me just stop that for a second, and what I'm going to do is go back to the event demo, mm-hmm. and the first thing I'm going to do is change this to the light theme. I'm not sure I like the dark theme.
Okay.
You might. You might.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
So let's go for the light theme resources. And we'll just run that up and see what that looks like.
All right.
I think we'll see it's looking better already from this.
Bit brighter.
Bit nicer. So, again, we could be automating these tests. I could be checking in, it could be firing off, all that stuff. All that nice DevOps stuff can be working with this, and it will work with this preview builds as well, because you can plug your packages into the builds on VSTS.
Okay.
So you've got that. So now we've got a nice light
yeah,
theme,
be better. Yep.
And I think that looks a lot nicer.
Yep.
But we're still chopping people's heads. We can't chop Jen's head off. That's just not nice.
Oh, because she'll hurt you.
Yeah, she will. So let's come back to here, and we'll plug that code in I took out earlier. Just to show that we can actually template this a bit, because normally with a lot of these quick and easy things, there's not much flexibility in them. You can't actually do anything with them, but they have actually allowed you to completely template the display.
So just as I can take the same approach with a XAML UI where I can put a template to say, okay, if you're going to use a list box, it always looks like this. I can now do exactly the same thing.
You can do.
In XAML Forms.
And what I've done with this, the XAML Forms pages, is I've actually given you a few specific ones, which are very standard things you would use in most applications. So one of the common things you get in Android applications is the idea of a hero image, so a big image with text underneath it. So we're going to use that here.
Okay.
Now, I didn't, when I was going through this earlier, I didn't spot mention this thing that's called style class up the top here, and that's just a way of, there's some pre-built styles in the data pages for particular types of data. So there's one for like a contacts list, and there's one for events. So that's why it knew how to render what I was showing on the screen.
Right. Okay.
And we were able to take that and just plug our data in, and we didn't have to tell it how to render that. But now we're actually going to tell it how to render it slightly. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that doesn't know about is a field I've got on the data source called day, which is basically the day of the event. So I'm going to show this time the title and the day rather than the title and the name.
Right.
So I've created a data template. It's got a view cell. It's got the hero image in it. And I've just bound similar way any XAML.
I was going to say that looks very like the XAML that I've worked on in the past.
Yeah, so it's very easy to work with. And if I run this now, hopefully we'll have a completely different look. We'll pull that up so we can see it happening. So we templated it, we've added a hero image, we've made it look a bit nicer, we've gotten to the light image. We should hopefully see our light image. And then we've now got a different look, and we can see we've now got the day in there, and our images are no longer chopped off. And we've got a nice lot of data.
Fantastic.
And we can tell, I love that one. That's a great picture. We come down, there's a very young looking me. We click on me, and we can now see Drill. And as you can see, if I've done this right, you should be viewing this through an application I've just written.
And that was really quick and really easy to build as well.
It was very easy to build. Cool. So, and just to prove it as well, we spoke about iOS, and here's the same application running on iOS.
Okay.
I did build this earlier just to prove it, but it's running on the Mac in the cloud, and it's able to be built. It's very simple, and it just renders it in a slightly different way. It's a slightly different look, but it's doing the same thing.
So it's exactly the same Xamarin Forms code, but it's rendered it out as native iOS.
It is the app you've just seen me write.
Great.
So all I've done is hit run on the iOS. I've not done anything else to it to make it work.
Okay.
So it shows you how powerful that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really, really powerful tool to do that. So we've got a few minutes left. Let's see if I can just bring the slides back up. Just find them. We have hidden them. Okay, so that's that demonstration. I'm going to whistle through some of this. Just to quickly point out the three plugins we had to use here. So we were using technologies called Xamarin Forms, Xamarin Forms Data Pages, and Xamarin Forms Theme. The Xamarin Forms Data Pages is actually contained in a plugin called Xamarin Forms Pages, just to confuse people.
Right.
It's in pre-release, you can get it, but you would have to switch pre-release on in Visual Studio to get the correct plugins. There's lots of documentation that's on the Xamarin site, how to build your own themes, how to create your own templates, really easy. We've mentioned testing is incredibly difficult on
yes, Xamarin. On all those different devices. Yeah. With
as you can see from this lovely fragmentation chart, Android is incredibly fragmented. And it changes every day almost what the fragmentation looks like. I love this stat. This is actual devices in use two months ago. For a week, there were 4,000 different Android devices detected by a popular website.
Wow.
So you can see the difficulty of testing. So one of the things that testing it becomes a challenge on is actually being able to test on lots of devices. And one thing Xamarin can help you with there is they've got the single Xamarin test cloud. They've got tons and tons of devices, as you can see from these images. And they can run Xamarin UI tests, which is a Calabash-based tool set in unit-like tests. You can write these in code, and you can now capture them, as we said, with the Visual Studio engine to be able to generate them.
Okay, and I can trigger those as part of my
automation. You can trigger those as part of the automation. And you can see there's tons of devices. You just put your steps in, you can run them, and you get loads of feedback from it. It's clear. There's some beautiful things, like it actually captures video of the steps. If you fail, you can actually play the step back and see how it worked and why it failed and run through, and you can see how many of the steps have failed. And it's a very nice tool set, and it works really, really well.
Okay. And is that just for Android there, Gary, or can I do my iOS on
that? You can do iOS on that as well. In fact, right. People are doing Android and iOS testing on Xamarin Test Cloud, which are apps which have not been written in Xamarin. So people have been using it for native application testing.
All right,
okay. It's so useful for that. It integrates in VSTS, as we said, and you can do the full CI stuff. So you've got the check-in, build, off you go.
So to be clear, though, Xamarin Test Cloud isn't
free.
That's not a free service.
You can use it with the Developer Essentials, but you do have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And it is still quite pricey. I'm just going to skip past these.
So one of the interesting things I remember from talking to the Xamarin guys at Build is you pay based on how many concurrent devices
that's
you want
right,
to
yes.
test on. So if you're very patient,
yeah,
you it's can, actually not that expensive.
No, that's right. So as I say here, a 12-minute test suite run on 5 different configurations will consume 1 device hour. And you basically pay per concurrent device per device hour mm-hmm. per day. So for $99 a month, you get one device for 1 hour per day.
Right.
But you can split that hour over multiple devices. And I've done fairly complex test suites across lots and lots of devices by only paying for 1 hour.
Okay.
So it can be done. The other nice thing is that that hour is calculated as a rolling average over 30 days. So if you only do testing once a week, you can make some savings.
Right.
So you have to think your strategy through. And a lot of the time I'm talking Xamarin Test Cloud with people, it's all about how you do the strategy to make it work properly. And I'll skip past these. There were a couple of announcements that evolve around testing, but one, probably the most useful one is that you can actually do testing live to a device in the Xamarin Test Cloud.
I can remote control it?
Yeah, exactly. Xamarin is a first-class citizen in VSTS. We've seen the stuff that guys have spoken about earlier. It all works. It just plugs in. You can see the steps. One thing I just want to hold up for out there, you have to have a Xamarin license to do it. I'm assuming that's going to change.
Right.
The biggest question I always get asked by people is, how do I hide my Xamarin password? Because you have to key it in plain text, and people don't want to show the Xamarin password. Obviously, you can just use a secret variable to do that.
Yep.
In your build process.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
right.
So just flipping across these. Monitoring, the story here, Hockey app again, we've spoken about that earlier. Matthias mentioned this. As long as the change of application insights, also Xamarin Insights, which is a big product, as mentioned earlier, has now been merged into Hockey app. The team are moving, working there. Some fruits of that have already come to life. There's a new beta nugget out there at the moment with enhanced metrics and far better crash reporting for Xamarin apps with stack traces, hooray, so you can actually see what's going on. So it's a really good story on that.
Right.
And you can see we've got the same monitoring we have on Android apps as we had on Windows apps and websites. We've got basically everything we would have on. Yeah.
So you can wire in exactly the same way as Matteo did that demo earlier on a building and pushing out via Hockey app with Windows. We can do exactly the same thing with Android or iOS driven through Xamarin.
Yeah. With point to people this presentation, Donovan Brown and Thomas Donkey is the founder of Hockey app, or co-founder. And Donovan's obviously one of the senior product managers at Microsoft. They did a fantastic hour-long presentation at Evolve, all about this stuff, how Hockey app integrates with VSTS, integrates with Xamarin. Highly recommend people go and watch it. It's online. In fact, all the videos from Evolve are online, and it's very worth watching. So just to recap, we covered the whole gamut of the DevOps cycle. We've developed, very important part.
Yep.
We've tested, we've built, we distributed with Hockey app, and we can monitor with Hockey app and have our net stack traces if we have anything go wrong. So full nice story out there.
Okay, that's great. And the coding demo worked. Well,
excellent. So anybody, there's a couple of resources I highly recommend people go to. TheEvolve.Xamarin.com for the videos. Some really good videos out there. All the sessions online, some brilliant sessions on there. You can contact me. So I'm quite happy to have emails and tweets sent to me, gary@apsiv.com or @GaryWMA.
And of course, you're going to go and sit in the green room.
Yeah, I'll answer any questions people have got on any of this stuff or anything Xamarin widely. A couple of useful resources. The Xamarin.com blog, all this previous stuff is always on there. There's a walkthrough of the stuff I've done today on there, so you can actually see how to do that. And a shout out to my friend James Montemagno, who I've followed on stage a few times. He's got his own website called Mots Codes, so that's motscode.es. And he has some fabulous stuff on there. A lot of Xamarin developers I know owe a lot to James because he's written so many plugins, it makes life so much easier to do stuff. And one final shout, Xamarin University. I'd highly recommend people look at that as well.
Okay, there you go. Right, and we are absolutely at time. That's fantastic. Thanks very much, Gary. That was incredibly interesting. Up next, in 15 minutes after a short break, is Boris Devoogd, the only man I've ever met that talks faster than Mr. Fryer. And then, at the end of the day, we've got Brian Harry, who's going to join us from the States, I presume from his farm, and talk to us about the DevOps vision in the Visual Studio team. So, thanks so much, Gary.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much to you. We'll see you shortly.